Yeah, I got to write these jokes. So I sit at the hotel at night. I think of something that's funny. Then I go get a pen and I write it down. Or if the pen's too far away, I have to convince myself that what I thought of ain't funny.
I love hotels. I met the girl who works at the front desk of my hotel. She gave me her phone number. It's 0. I got a, you know what, man? I got a parrot. The parrot talked, but it did not say I'm hungry, so it died. I like rice. Rice is great when you're hungry and you want 2,000 of something.
All right. Yeah.
My mom loves those applause breaks. Hey, man, every book is a children's book if the kid can read. I've been working. Hey, that's right. You guys did that for my mom.
They're not connected. I don't think that is one thing delivered right after the other. I don't think that's the one thing he knows.
A misleading edit?
Yeah. The one thing he knows is probably like, you know, the light side is good or something like that. But it's not the Jedi must end.
That's interesting.
Yeah, like we talked about earlier today, like, if the Jedi must end, there's just one of you. Go end yourself. That's the end of the Jedi.
Yeah. That is, yeah,
that's probably him talking to her because she's talking about the Jedi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if it's actually part of the final cut and she's begging him, no, train me. He's, nah, you know what? This whole Jedi thing, it's no good. Trust me, Jedi have to end.
Or even at that, we don't know. This is really stupid, but I was looking at it in the sense that maybe it's even an incomplete sentence, you know?
Yeah.
The Jedi must end
are on the table.
Those bad guys or whatever, you know?
Well, that would be poor grammar, Corey.
I know, but...
but I do know what you mean. It could be a sentence fragment for sure. And like I said to... I think to both of you, I'm not sure which thread that was in, but maybe it won't even be in the movie. It could be just cut audio or like specific audio meant to mislead for the title, you know?
Well, there's lines from The Force Awakens, the first teaser that originally, that were actually cut. I can't, now the lines escape me.
Isn't it Luke talking to R2?
Isn't it the scene where Luke's got his hand on R2?
He's saying my sister has it.
Yeah.
Well, those were lines cut from Return of the Jedi.
Oh, there you go.
I think Snoke says something to the darkness and the light, and then the shot of the Falcon. I think that was cut from the... Or either was that was intended for the trailer, or they cut that. I don't know. But, of course, in Rogue One had... This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel. That was done away with.
Yeah, which was like the most talked about line. Maybe more than any in the actual movie.
Oh, yeah. They made t-shirts with that, and people were all amped up about that line. And then it was gone. So it seems to be part of their MO now to create some kind of line that gets people all riled up.
Yeah, it's...
Marketing geniuses. Hey, I didn't get to do a hard start with you guys on the last show, and I also exited early, so I wanted to say an official hey, thanks, Rob, and fun chatting with you again. I like working with that guy, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, Rob's always
awesome. I love having Rob on.
Yeah, he's terrific. All the crew.
That was a really good show, and we got a lot of great. I think that show has gotten the most feedback of. Almost any show we've ever done.
I think it has. It may have something to do with the afternoon record time where we actually all have energy. And Rob, too, obviously. It's always great when Rob's around. That's the best part about
too
Rob,
late.
Too.
You already credited record time. You said it's not Rob, it's the record time.
Well, I definitely know I felt more awake then than I do now, anyhow. But, yeah, it's like, with Rob, it's like, yeah, I feel like I can talk to this guy about, like, anything, you know what I mean? You just, like, shoot shit about any topic, really.
Well, that's why I'm so complimentary about After Dark Side, because it's often not about Star Wars. They could just be talking about the phone book. And I'm listening. Yeah, yeah, this is interesting, guys. More of this. Anyway, but I want to say thanks to everybody who gave us all that positive feedback on episode 71, our Commiseration Orlando episode. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, I'm still not through it. I'm listening every now and again.
Well, it was a long one, man. I think that was our longest podcast ever by a long shot.
Really?
Well, maybe not by a long shot. It's definitely our longest. It is most definitely our longest, and I would say probably by a good 10 minutes.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you noticed, but I was gone, but I'm back.
Yeah, you dropped off the call. I saw that.
Yeah, I heard it.
You know, it's funny. The whole lesson that we learned, or at least that I learned from episode 71, is it completely reinforced why we don't record in the afternoons. First of all, it's really tough to coordinate. Never mind on an Easter weekend or holiday weekend, but just even on a regular Sunday or Saturday afternoon, it would be really tough to do with, especially when you have multiple kids.
With my kids home, it proved to be basically impossible. I kept having to disappear, run upstairs, herd or wrangle the two that were out of control, while my wife nursed the one that was hungry. Oh my god.
Yeah, even
I didn't think it was going to be so challenging, but it was pretty tough.
I had the plan, basically, like, I set it up a few days earlier where I was just like, hey, you know what, why not Sunday, you and the little guy go have a little, like a mommy Sunday, and, you know, like, go see a movie, something, and I'll pay.
Yeah, I tried to get some help, but wasn't available. That's the way it goes,
yeah, eh? It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's, yeah.
No, it's unrealistic.
We know why we can't do afternoons.
Obviously. It's not easy. But I definitely think we could start earlier.
I think we should complain more about our kids and not talk about Star Wars.
And just, Corey, no, we cannot start earlier. It's not going to happen. And unless you want to come put Harley to bed or yell at her and say, let me leave the room earlier.
I'll cry. I'll pull on her heartstrings. I just want to sleep too, Harley. We all just want to sleep.
It won't work.
Flip the script.
Besides, you're the one that always bitches about starting earlier, then you're the last one ready. Wow. Like 7 out of 10 times.
Wow, I could be ready much earlier. It's just after, you know.
I don't think you could.
At a point, I'm just like, you know what? We're on my time now.
So I guess you didn't go see a movie then.
No. I was going to go, you know what? I'll wait for... I'll wait for Free Fire. I did want to check out Ghost in the Shell. You know, I had seen that
one
movie
looks
back
okay.
I
can't remember what the other one you said was, but I was like, oh boo, that movie looks really shitty.
Free Fire?
No. You said Ghost in the Shell or something else?
There was Fast and the Furious.
Oh yeah, that looks really shitty.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't on the top of my list. And plus, I haven't seen episodes 2 through 7 or 8, so. But I do remember.
Hey, did you know that
I got to tell you guys this. I do remember seeing part one in the theater. Like, it was the saddest thing ever, man. Like, it was like maybe the year 2000, 1999, 2000, something like that. And when this movie ended, it was all punk kids like us in our late teens. And my buddy's got this Honda Accord with a muffler on it. And, like, so did so many other people in that parking
lot. All cars have a muffler
lot.
On them.
No, but you know, the custom, like.
I do.
Oh, that horrible, horrible sound. And yeah, man, like so many people in the parking lot had the same thing with like stupid, like just modifications like from the year 2000 that were just the wings, oh God, it was so horrible. Everyone's peeling out of the parking lot after the movie, like, yeah.
Oh, everybody's a racer dude, bro, after that movie.
Yeah. It's so true.
I was driving an 88 Ford Probe, so no. I didn't try any of that shit.
Well, we could have raced then. You would have won. I was driving an 86 Chrysler Reliant.
Nice.
A very reliable automobile.
You know, I really liked that Probe until the moment it started falling apart on the highway. I remember driving to work one day, and I hear like a bang from underneath the car. And then I look back and like a couple of metal pieces like bouncing off on to the side of the highway. Uh-oh.
Boing.
whatever.
And so I drove maybe another click and then the car just started losing power. And I could see my speedometer just slowly but surely going slower and slower. And I was hitting, hit the accelerator, nothing.
What kind of car was it?
89 Ford Probe.
89 Probe. Awesome.
The car that was intended to replace the Ford Mustang and resurrect Ford.
Oh, bad
see,
call.
See how well that went.
They had to redesign the Mustang call. 2 years later.
Dude, it was super.
93, what was it? That, the new one came out.
That was mid to late 90s.
Was it really? No, it was early 90s.
Maybe it was early 90s.
I remember that car.
I think
the Ford Probe continued to maybe 93 or 94, and then once they realized that wasn't working, they refocused on the Mustang. But yeah, the Probe was supposed to save Ford.
It did have quite a... It was a light car, and it had quite... not a big four-cylinder engine, but I mean... It was, I think they were like 2.2 liters, and they had some get up and go because I technically had the exact same car, the chassis and motor anyhow, but I had a Mazda MX-6, but it was the same platform, same everything, just a different body really, but the MX-6 was much, much nicer.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
MX-6 was nice.
Ah, dude, I love that car. That
the Mustang got the redesign, Kyle. 94.
94, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's in 93 they scrapped the Probe and they could have started with a better name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could easily do an edit on the show. I don't know how much revenge Corey wants if you want to do the edit, but I got your brother saying a whole bunch of stuff about a Probe and stuff falling apart. We could edit that thing hardcore.
Yeah, I love the Probe. Yeah, I love the Probe. Yeah, I love the Probe. I did when I remember when I saw it back in the day. I was probably like in grade 4, and one of my friend's moms had it, and I was coming home from basketball practice, and I got in the car. I was like, yeah, I love the Probe. We got acquired. Mine was actually pretty sweet, man. Like the guy who owned mine prior was like a 70-year-old guy, first buyer. He had an
Is that what the guy at the used car dealership told you?
No. I went to go see the guy directly. My dad picked me up at a friend's house. Like, you're coming. Let's go. Like he caught the tip. And then when we saw it, the guy even had a cruise control installed in the car. He's like, I just took it to my camp all the time, you know, like that's it. And dude, when I got this car, man, it definitely still had some kick in it, man. It was standard. Oh, dude, it would rip.
You wrecked that car pretty hard, though.
No, that car was good. It was the Firefly I really wrecked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. The listeners don't know the time that Corey took my car.
It was our car.
And turned it into a loaf. Yeah, it was mostly mine.
Yeah.
And turned it into a low-flying airplane.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How about that?
Do tell.
My dad still calls me Mario Andretti to this day.
He should be calling you Amelia Earhart.
Oh, dude, it was bad.
I like how you went with a female pilot.
She crashed.
No Chuck Yeager.
Chuck Yeager didn't crash.
Oh, I'm sure he did. He was a test pilot.
Yeah, call me Han Solo. Call me Harrison Ford. I still lived.
Yeah. So anyway, Corey's bombing through the streets of Pankhur, my little town, or actually where I live now. It's not where we lived then. And he tried to sell the story that he was doing. Oh, I was only driving like 40. It's a residential street. I was only doing about 40, and I took a turn, and I hit a snowbank, and I went over the fence and through a couple of big trees, almost like kicking a field goal. He slid right between two trees as he came to a stop by a kid's swing set at the other side of a sizable backyard.
Yeah, it was and bad.
Yeah, was 40 kilometers an hour, huh? And his friend who was with him at the time is snickering, going, no, he wasn't going 40.
Of course it wasn't going 40. You think dad bought that?
Of course he didn't.
Of course he didn't. But yeah, man, dude, when you look at that, the trajectory of everything that happened in that accident, like, The way I went in between the back those trees wheels is like impossible.
The back wheels of the car took out the top of the fence and ripped the whole fence down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
who's gonna drive the boat, Corey?
What's that?
Who's gonna drive the boat?
Yeah, don't worry about that. I learned my lesson actually on that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pissed, man. That was my ride to work. I'm like, great, because you're an idiot. I can't drive myself to work now.
No, we actually did fix that car, but it didn't really work as well after the whole.
No, it never did. It kind of shuddered and.
It still drove. It was a 3-cylinder go-kart anyway. I did you a favor.
That was a good car, man. The heater in that thing could, like, you could boil soup with the heater in that car.
It was fun driving that car sometime. It had no power steering.
No, that car had nothing. I mean, I remember taking it to my friend's house after we first got it, and he's like, nice little car. I'll pop the hood. Pop the hood. Where's the rest of the engine? That's it, man.
Yeah, it's like a motorcycle.
Is that a 3-cylinder? Yes, sir. I mean, Pontiac Firefly, that was tiny. But it was actually a very good car for a little while until Corey gave it wings.
Yeah, you want to know something crazy about that week? Like, that day was probably, like, one of the worst days of my life. Really bad. But there's a lot more to that story, too. It wasn't just, anyway, but I don't want to get into it. Anyhow, that happened. And then that was a Sunday. And then the Tuesday, I'm walking around at my college campus I was in Cégep at the time at John Abbott, and I'm walking down the stairs and 4 dudes jump me and they're just like, give me like, I'm like, I just told them like, yeah, what, you want my school books? I'm like, I don't even have my wallet on me. Like, and they're like, they pretty much just let me go. But still, that was kind of like, what the fuck, you know?
At John Abbott College?
Yeah, man.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was sketch, man. Like, that was not cool. And then again at John Abbott, on the Thursday, I was playing volleyball. It was like 11 in the morning. And me and another dude went to block a shot. And he pretty much like landed on top of me. And I twisted my ankle to the point where like my ankle was black. My toes were black. Like all along the rim of my foot was black, you know. And the next day on the Friday was my championship hockey game. It was like 1-1 in the series. Whoever wins is taking it home, right? So, yeah, I didn't care, man. I almost, I taped up my ankle and I still played like shit, but.
Did you win?
We won, man. We won by 1 goal, 4-3.
Did you score?
I almost blew it. No, I almost blew it in the last minute.
Nice.
Yeah. But, dude, yeah. Like, I had some, like, special, like, sports dude, like, do this special taping on my foot and stuff. It was awesome.
So.
What a week.
I'm going back to our episode 71 recording in the afternoon. So I was afraid that I was going to be besieged by 6-year-old girls because my daughter had a play date. And usually it's over at the other girl's house, but that Sunday it happened to be here. I was like, great. Another thing against me. It turns out they didn't even come near where I record, which is great. But her mom came to get her, took off with her. Then Candace took Carter out that's the only way to get him to nap. So Harley was upstairs by herself. And Candace just set her up with a couple snacks and 2 TV remotes, which she knows now how to work. And so she got herself onto Netflix, was watching a movie, fell asleep on her own, woke up, ate her snacks. She was like running the house while Candace was out for a good hour and a half with Carter. And I had no idea any of this was going on.
That's so like her. Like that's what she needs, you know? It's just like, okay, just leave me to my own devices. Like, God, like, get out of here. Like, let me do my thing. If you want me to sleep, like, I'll sleep when I want to sleep.
I couldn't believe it. Like, that was so unlike her, but it was a small mercy that actually got like 3-4 hours of silence to do episode 71.
Hats off to Harley. That's she's all grows up.
Yeah, man, it's getting a little bit scary.
I know.
It's more and more independent
fast,
every day.
All that cliche stuff, but man, mine starts school next year too. And what the hell?
Yeah, James, our kids might be in the same class, man.
Yeah, there's a very strong chance they'll be in the same class. Actually,
yeah, I'm stoked they're going to that school.
It's a good school, man.
Did you guys catch the latest TSW, Mark's experience over at in Orlando?
Yep.
I haven't yet, no.
What do you do all day if you're not listening to podcasts?
Well, I actually kind of work during the day. Kind of got to do that.
Excuses.
Yeah, it's even tough for me to get on Twitter lately, man. It sucks.
So I don't know. I don't know if Mark's listening to this, but it almost felt like Mark was obviously he admitted to his frustration. But Mark, would you do the same? Would you do it all over again?
It's too soon.
I don't
ask him. Ask him now, and then ask him again in a month.
Yeah. But it reinforced the reason why I'm not so keen on hopping on a jet and going to a celebration, because it's a huge expense. And to get shut out, or the sacrifice needed to get into one of those panels, the big panels, I don't know that I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
That's it. I think when it all boils down to it, I don't know, if you're a real go-getter, you know, more power to those people that can go and say, you know what, I'm doing like every panel and whatever, like all the big panels anyhow, you know, if they can do it, go for it. If, you know, you can survive that, but I'm kind of on that same page. I think I'd maybe try and make it to one panel, but even if not, like, I just want to go for the Star Wars party, man. Like, just be with all these people that we interact with on Twitter. And I think that's the takeaway from this thing. Like, that's all I've been reading on Twitter, really, is that, like, everyone's so glad to have met each other and interacted. And that was the main part of it all, you know, just chilling out, like, wherever you go.
Yeah, like we said on our show, the main part of any con is typically the social part, the people that you get to meet, because a lot of the other stuff can be very underwhelming.
Well, even at that, I mean, there was so much cool stuff on display, and just walking around the convention center for most of the day, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Rob Cass posted a bunch of really cool pictures, you know, of droid, like life-size BB-8s and whatnot. All that stuff is super cool. But if you have, specifically if you're going, you know, and now as podcasters and content creators, to want to be a part of those panels where huge news gets dropped, or your idols are there on stage in front of you and you don't get to go to them. Ugh.
You know, knowing that they're in the next room.
Yeah. I mean, you can be gutted, right? It's like, oh God, really? I missed out. I mean, weren't they lining up like at dinner time the day before the panel?
Yeah, people weren't messing around, man.
Or like, no, it was a lineup to get access to the lineup.
Yeah, I think you needed bracelets or something, you know?
You know, when you're in Orlando or California or wherever they're doing this, I don't know, is that how you want to spend your time? I don't know. Like you said, I guess it would have to be a wait and see, and if you can get everybody together and do it as a group, it's far easier to take, but yeah, I don't know.
I would try and go with a more casual approach, you know, just do our thing. Like I said, try and attend the panel that means the most and just make sure we have secure internet and like cozy place, secure internet.
Well, you can't. That was the other thing Mark was saying.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
A huge problem. Like there's not enough Wi-Fi to feed everybody.
There's not even enough like 3G or whatever. Like you couldn't even not Wi-Fi it, apparently. There was just too many people, I guess, too close together or whatever. And so there was a problem, yeah, being anywhere near that place.
Hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I think I would have to go with just the mentality that I'm not going to any panels. I'll watch it in one of the overflow rooms, if those were available. Other than that, I will just check out vendors. I will try and catch glimpses of my idols. Maybe I'll try and grab an autograph or two. Otherwise, take it easy. And enjoy
meet people, you know, like I'm sure there's like hundreds of people you say like, hey, I know that person. Hey, that's so-and-so. And hey, how's it going, man? You know, like it's like the famous unveil, you know, like I think none of us really, except for that one picture that we posted for Rogue One. Like, man, that's not true. Maybe I posted a few, but not really many pictures of us. Mostly it's all Star Wars related. Right. So it'd be really cool to, you know, just meet people and stuff and be awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. But you can also plan that, if that's your thing, you can plan that any time of the year or next year and say, hey guys, let's gather in X spot for a weekend where we just chill and hang out.
Yeah, logistically that might not work. I think something like this would have the gravity to bring everyone together.
Oh, of course, yeah. Anyway, Corey, well, let's revisit our Star Wars Celebration predictions. How about that?
Alrighty then, let's do it.
So this will, I guess this will be quicker. So we both said yes to the Last Jedi lead up books comics. So we're getting plenty of those. So we get the point there. Then we got next animated show outline. We both said no. Now, I guess, does Forces of Destiny count as next animation show outline?
Yes.
Okay, then we do not get the point. I mean, technically, it wasn't announced at Celebration. They announced it publicly the night before.
Well, no, it's the midnight hour it struck is when they told it, right?
Okay, so we're 1-2. The Han Solo standalone title. We said no, and that is correct. Han Solo scissor reel teaser. We both said no, and that is correct. The Last Jedi sizzle reel or teaser, we said yes. That is correct. And then the one our big swing and miss. Obi-Wan announcement, we both said yes.
A little disappointed about that, but hey, whatever. We'll get it. But now, the recent speculation is now that, I don't know if this is just trepidation and everyone backing away now because it wasn't announced at Celebration, but... I've heard so much backlash on it this week. Like, oh, no, now they're not doing Obi-Wan. Like,
I didn't hear any of that. But I heard, so I guess there's some confusion going around. Anyway, I'll finish this. So our last one was other standalone announcements. We said no, and that is correct. So we got a score of 5 out of 7. I think that's respectable.
Not bad, guys. I wasn't on that show, but I was keeping track just now, and I would have got 7 out of 7, just for the record.
Hindsight.
Yes, mine's quite strong.
It makes sense. I know there was a lot of anger over the lack of Obi-Wan announcement. Like, why? Okay, well, if Ewan wasn't there, like, why didn't he send a video message? It's because they're doing something bigger, and they're going to announce it, and they didn't, and I feel cheated. But I think it makes sense. Just because that show was heavily hinged upon the tribute to Carrie Fisher, and I think it would have been inappropriate to kind of wash that away with a big announcement like an Obi-Wan standalone.
That makes sense.
And I also kind of think that maybe the plan originally, when they were planning this Star Wars Celebration back in. Last summer, last fall, when they're thinking about the things that they're going to put into the show, I halfway believe that an Obi-Wan announcement could have been part of this. And then Carrie Fisher passed away, and they decided, well, we have to bump that.
Yeah, that would be classy. That would be the classy move.
Because Kathleen Kennedy had a couple bits. I mean, there's still fallout. Of bits of news, which we'll get to most of them in episode 72. But now, there were two recent interviews. One she gave with Fandango, and the other, I want to say, with... I can't remember. Anyway, it's not really that important. But there's seemingly contradictory statements, where in one of them she said... And this is where you have to read to understand. But one of them pertained to standalone movies, and the other pertained to saga movies. One said that she said that there should be an announcement for standalones this summer, and an announcement for what's happening next with saga movies next summer. That's the way I understood it. But I mean I don't want anybody to quote me because I could be wrong. That's the way I understood it. And I guess I could send you links if you want to read for yourself. Just let me know. So yeah, that makes me think that if they're going to announce a standalone, which may very well be Obi-Wan this summer at D23, then I have to imagine that could have been very easily planned for Orlando, but got bumped.
Yeah, that makes total sense for sure.
Yeah, were you disappointed by that? Like, I know circumstances aside, I guess, kind of, like, we both kind of said we were expecting it, so were you a little bit disappointed?
Or maybe a tiny bit, but
just a tad.
No, I mean, I the slightest bit, honestly. Like it, I think I would have been. Obviously, I would have jumped for joy at the announcement of an Obi-Wan movie, But I also would have been like, ah, dudes, this could have waited like a little bit longer. It's because I don't think an announcement now versus August, if they announce it, or July, whenever D23 is, I don't think it changes the timeline at all of when the movie comes out. So
spread the wealth too, you know, it's better for them that way, marketing wise.
Yeah, and then, you know, give the spotlight to the 40th anniversary, give it to Carrie, give it to The Last Jedi.
Yeah, and Corey, think of it this way too. If they would have put the Obi-Wan preview in, I mean, you probably would have been excited, but it probably wouldn't have made you cry. Whereas, you know, this was obviously more pressing, since I'm pretty sure you shed a tear or two over it.
Oh, dude. I still can't believe that, man. Like, I have not cried like that in forever.
No, there you go.
I couldn't stop myself. I was done watching, and I was outside, and I was still crying. Like, it was weird, man.
Yeah.
No, it was very emotional.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys see this? I don't know if you did. It went viral, but somebody, and I think it was a comedian or a humorist, as the story on the web called the guy, and I don't remember his name, but he posted a picture of Steven Spielberg sitting next to that ill Triceratops from the first Jurassic Park movie.
I did not see that.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen
And sort of framed it up as, you know, cruel sport hunter kills dinosaur for fun. And people went nuts.
Oh, I did see that. I saw that a while ago, like maybe up to a year ago. They make it look like he trophy hunted this thing and he's standing over his kill.
Yeah, but it's a model from the movie.
And it's,
or a, you know, animatronic dinosaur from the movie.
And it's a dinosaur.
And people went crazy. This man should be put in jail. This guy is a cold-blooded killer. It's shameful. And then the guy, the humorist, doubles down on the whole thing and goes, oh, and this guy, it's not like this guy just started with this. He also cruelly killed this beautiful great white shark like 30, 20 years earlier in the 70s. And it's Steven Spielberg sitting on a model of Jaws.
That's amazing.
And people still lost it. Like, how dumb are people?
Very.
Yeah, I believe that's a really real, real sad reality of modern day society.
Instant outrage. No facts required. Just, how do I feel?
Yeah,
instantly?
Exactly. What does this article say? Oh my God, I am taking it to the bank. Like,
I was absolutely flabbergasted. Like, it's to the point, it's so sad that I can't tell if the reactions are part of the joke or not.
I think some people troll that way. But some of these reactions are also real.
Did you just coin that? Troll that way. Like, roll that way, you know, no?
Yeah, I got it. I'm the one who said it.
You never know. It could have been an accident. A happy accident.
It's not the first time that I've seen something to this level where people are just like, what? What the hell? Remember a few years back when Paul McCartney was on SNL and you just saw all these young kids coming out of the woodwork on Twitter. Who's Paul McCartney? Who is this guy on SNL?
I remember that. Someone like tweeted out like, you know, this guy's got a future.
No, someone tweeted something along the lines of that Kanye discovered him or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't he play with Kanye?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Kanye does it again. Discovers new hidden talent.
The guy's in his 70s. Yeah, look what Kanye dug up.
Yeah, jeez. Kanye 2020.
But it was a big thing. It wasn't just a couple of people saying, who's Paul McCartney? It was, like, if you did a Twitter search, it was just dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of people who just didn't know who this guy was.
Yo, I showed a movie today in English class called The Big Year. It's actually a pretty good movie. It's like a character-driven movie about bird watching. Sounds boring, but it's pretty good. Anyway, it stars Jack Black and Owen Wilson and Steve Martin.
I like it.
Yeah, it's great. Cast is great.
I remember that movie.
Kids didn't know a single one of them. Sec 5.
What?
So they're 17 years old. Some of them knew School of Rock peripherally for Jack Black.
Wow. What? But Jack Black just did Goosebumps and Jesus.
I know, man. I was like, what? Like Steve Martin. Okay, you don't know Steve Martin. I guess, you know. Roxanne's a little before your time. Like.
King Tut.
Yeah.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, baby.
Oh, man. You're going the wrong way.
Dude, he's actually quite the musician, too. He released his own album back in the day.
Jack Black? Or all, is, you're still on Steve Martin?
Both.
Because well, Jack Black,
Jack
too?
Black?
Yeah.
Jack Black, yeah. He did
He's with his brother, with Tenacious D.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But Steve Martin plays a mean banjo, man.
Oh, he's excellent. You know, his book, Born Standing Up, I think it's called.
Like a giraffe.
Terrific. Or is that what it's called? Damn it. I can't remember now. But he's got a really good autobiography out.
Yeah, I believe he's that. He's the best. A funny guy.
I think one of the things I'll never forget about him is that he's the sadomasochistic dentist from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so good. Pain! Pain! It's so good. I'll never forget that.
I remember being so freaked out.
By his nose in Roxanne?
No, no, just by Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah, me too. I was afraid of
just so bizarre.
You know what's so weird about that? I'm younger than you, and for some reason, I was like obsessed with that movie when I was like six.
Seymour was Rick Moranis' name, right? What was the plant's name? Did it have a name?
I can't remember. But feed me, Seymour.
Yeah.
So good.
Classic.
It's based on a musical. I never knew that till I was like older, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a kid, I loved that movie. I'll never forget that.
I was reminded of that Mitch Hedberg joke just now. Someone showed me a picture of them and said, "This is a picture of me when I was younger. Every picture is of you when you were younger." I've been listening to a lot of Mitch Hedberg lately.
Classic. Who's Mitch Hedberg?
For real?
Yeah, for real for me. I don't know him.
For real? Oh, Corey, you're going to spend some time then. Like, way ahead of his time, comedian who died young because of drugs, but, like, really ahead of his time, one-liner type comedian.
You had me at drugs, man.
Oh, you'll love him. You'll love his delivery. He's,
lifting
like, total stoner.
For the listeners.
Dude, it's called comedy.
It's not working.
All right. I got a question for you guys, Star Wars related. It's almost a what if and a would you rather at the same time.
The Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, that could be an answer for this question. It really could be.
Usually applies.
All right, so there's no budget here. The limit is only your imagination. So there's no you don't have to worry about money or anything like that. You got a team behind you. In the entire Star Wars galaxy, who would you choose to cosplay? If you could do anyone, anything, like, who would you choose? Hmm. Take your time with it. Like, you know, don't just say, like, Han Solo, because, yeah, I have brown hair.
Immediately, my mind went to Darth Maul. I'd want to do it up and, like, be unrecognizable as me. So I'd want, like, someone... I don't know if I'd want a mask, though. I think I'd want really cool makeup. Where's your head at, Kyle? Are you getting a big Wookiee suit, or what's going on?
No, I'm not tall enough to do Wookiee. I'd just be, like, a joke of a Wookiee. You know, same with Vader. I feel like if you're going to get into that suit, you have to be at least 6'2".
Yeah, that's a fair...
I would love to do Snowtrooper. Surprise, surprise.
See, I was both hoping and thought you were going to say Princess Leia in the gold bikini.
Maybe by the end of the summer, if I get back to some working out, maybe.
Get back to your bikini weight.
Yeah.
Remember, you got a team at your disposal here. You could do anything. Like, you could be the Millennium Falcon technically if you really wanted to.
What?
I'm sure people have done it before. Like, didn't you see, even this weekend, someone was dressed up as a giant lightsaber at
Yeah, that was pretty
celebration.
Funny.
It's creative.
Oh, took a picture with Hayden Christensen. I know what we're doing. We're going together tandem, and we're going as an AT-AT.
Dude, you read my mind almost.
That's pretty cool. A chicken walker would be pretty cool.
That would look... Oh, if you went solo, yeah. Not Han, yeah, I mean by yourself.
Just a tandem AT-AT would be cool if you could really pull it off well. That's actually tough to beat.
And you could. You got the team. You got the resources. I saw a wicked, wicked thing on Twitter not too long ago from... it was one of the cons somewhere, like maybe like WonderCon or something. And someone did this like full-on Rancor. And it
looked yeah, that,
awesome.
it was spectacular.
Well, there's that kid riding the...
Tauntaun?
The Tauntaun, like for Halloween from a couple of years ago. If you did like an adult version of that, that could be pretty cool too.
Yeah, that one Halloween that year.
Well, I mean, it went viral that one year. I'm sure people do it every year.
What about like a Jabba?
I thought that, but like, it's so like stagnant.
On his little dais, you build a little dais platform on wheels and then just have a full-size Jabba that you can somehow see out of.
Yeah, I guess.
That'd be pretty rad.
Get some slaves to like pull you around.
Excuse me, guys.
Bless you.
Thank you.
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
As much as I would like to have my own Jedi costume, I wouldn't want to go to a con because, I look at like so many pictures of people that go to cons, like cosplaying as Jedi, and I'm like, you just look kind of like a tool, as a generic Jedi. Like, God bless you and your whole Jedi suit. It's amazing. You've put work into it. It's
too late.
Spot on.
They hate you already.
In your bathrobe.
They've already turned us off.
But you just kind of look. You're not, if you're not a character from the movie, if you're just like, I'm Jedi Master me, like, nah.
Like, am I like an Asian Jedi Master?
Why not?
I'm a little off the rails, guys. I'm not sleeping much, and I'm hiding from my wife in the basement. So if my sense of humor is even tackier than usual, you're welcome.
You know what's really weird? The other day, I went hunting for some toys with my buddy, and we're walking around, and there was like really nothing. I went to Toys R Us specifically in search of some 40th anniversary stuff, and there was really not much around. I was really disappointed, Then I looked into the Marvel Legends stuff. There wasn't really anything great. Again, super disappointed. So then I head over to the video game section of the Toys R Us, because I know they got those Disney Infinity things, right? And they're all sold out of them, so that was kind of disappointing, because they were like $2 a piece at this point here.
Well, they've been blowing those out for months now, so...
Yeah, but
it's
it
not,
depends
it's not
where
a shock
you go.
That they'd be gone.
Like, the one I got you, like... It was like $30 or $20 cheaper than everywhere else. Like, ridiculous. Like, it was really cheap here. So anyhow, I'm in the video game section and I look. It caught the corner of my eye. I don't know how, but I found the 40th anniversary Vader. So I'm like, first of all, like, why the hell is it hidden here? Like, on a top shelf where I can't even barely see it in the... electronics section or
somebody
whatever.
Was stashing it on you.
And two,
no, there was like,
I'm really
no,
glad
like,
I did that yesterday.
No, but either way, there was like five or six of them there. That was the display for them. Like, I figure because there's so expensive that there's more security there. Like, someone's really going to walk out of the store with one of these things anyhow. But right below that was the Black Series lightsabers, which are going for like $199 a pop, which is steep because I'm going to have to buy one. And that sucks.
That's insane.
It really is. I almost want to have to... I don't know. I want to touch one and see what they look like first before really investing. Because, yeah, they had three different colors there, and they're all lined up. And again, they're, like, totally hidden. Like, these things are never going to get sold. Just not in the right section whatsoever. Really surprising. But anyhow, I picked up the Vader, which was awesome. And, yeah, I'm happy.
Nice.
I'm a sucker.
You can say that again.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of hockey, the Leafs lost tonight.
Aw.
Yeah. Shucks.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I was hoping
they're putting
more
up a good fight, though. They are entertaining as all get out, though.
Yeah. I'm sure Toronto. Toronto's loving that they're in the playoffs.
Look, they're 2-2, same as us. We can't. Well, it's, by the time this podcast drops, it will not be. It'll be 3-2 for somebody.
Yeah, us.
Hopefully, better be.
As long as we're not podcasting on that night.
Yeah.
No, it's Thursday and Saturday.
Okay, we're good. Safe.
Corey, would you rathers?
Yeah, well, I kind of got another what if. I was kind of thinking about this the other night, having, I've been watching still, I'm almost done the Clone Wars now. I'm kind of trying to savor it. Kind of, you know, procrastinating, but I'm just taking the time to watch them, give them their justice in the sense that I have time and I can focus and actually really watch them and not be distracted by other things. So, yeah, I'm midway through season 4 and I just kind of thinking with the Jedi dogma and stuff, like I just saw this episode arc about General Krell. He was a Jedi Master Krell.
Pong Krell, yeah.
Oh,
asshole.
Boy.
Real asshole.
Real, yeah. Yeah, real bad. So that with the, and there was a clone trooper in that arc called Dogma. So it was really, it was a good arc, man. It told a good story. But it got me thinking about Jedi Dogma, and I kind of said this once before about how droids, I feel like droids were written into this saga, like the Separatist army as droids, written in so that Jedi, being these dogmatic beings that we know and representative of the light and all this good stuff, you know, they can easily slice through these droids and it's no issue for them and it's no issue to the viewer. Like, we just right through it.
That goes back to Phantom Menace. You needed some cannon fodder. So make these stupid B1 battle droids.
So how would you feel about this? So it's kind of a what if. What if the droids were replaced by clones and it was clones versus clones? How would the Jedi feel about that? Does it change the way they act? And I think the first way to look at it is kind of, okay, the Jedi are already using the clones as pawns in the Battle of War, right? So is that, you know, they're dispensable, kind of, you know? So is that kind of the answer, or does that change things for the Jedi if it was like clones versus clones?
Hmm.
I don't know. Yoda kind of said that even though they were clones, meant for one purpose, that he valued all their lives, and they were all kind of connected to the living force, and their lives mattered to him.
And the Clone Wars really beats on that drum too. Like that whole arc with Krell is that they're rising up. It's a mutiny, you know, against him because they know that he's not giving them the right orders. Like, he's putting them in harm's way. Because, well, first he's got his own agenda, but
he's full on turned. He was dark side by that point.
Yeah, well, by the end he's dark side, and then they realize it. But prior to that, they're obeying his orders and obeying his orders just because that's protocol.
Well, they're being good soldiers.
Good soldiers, but they're questioning it, and like, when can we actually say, like, at a point that it's enough, you know? So. It was, and the one Jedi that was kind of standing with Krell, his name was Dogma. So I thought that was really interesting. But I don't know. I think it would change things for the Jedi, because the Clone Wars does stamp that fact home, is that even this arc, like again, this arc, they're saying, like, we're not just clones, we're men, you know, like we're people.
Yeah. I guess there's a debate to be had. Yes, like Yoda says, they're living beings, and it probably would have altered some of their behaviors. And on the other hand, you know, we have a job to do, says Obi-Wan in Attack of the Clones. So, you know, they got roped into the war when they shouldn't have. Maybe they continue as, I don't know. It's a good question. I'm just not equipped to deal with it right now.
Yeah, it's a little late for these kind of existential questions.
Yeah, I want to make fun of Fast and Furious 8. Actually, yeah. You know, as tacky as those movies are, number 8, which released worldwide this past weekend, it topped The Force Awakens worldwide opening. Like, that was the record.
Oh, I know. It's crazy, though. It's Asia, right? Like, I think it's China that is just massive.
Yeah, China.
Love this stuff.
They love it. So, I don't remember the exact numbers, but The Force Awakens globally, opening weekend opened to like 529 point something. And Fast Furious 8 opened to 532 point something.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
I do love The Rock, so.
It's a big franchise. The Rock came in late, too. Like, he's a... Anyway, whatever. I've already heard that they signed for 9 already, but... Whatever, man. I mean, people love it. It's a smash-em-up, Big Bang movie, you know? Like,
yeah, I probably would have loved it when I was 20.
I actually almost want to see number 8. Like I like you said, James, I love The Rock, and I'll watch almost anything with him in it. I just find him so magnetic on screen.
Yep.
It's funny. We had a funny chat in the TSW VIP group this past week about The Rock in Star Wars, yes or no. And, yeah, some people are like, yeah, sure, why not? It'd be fun. And other people are just like, fuck no.
Yeah. That would be weird.
Depends on the role.
Anyway, and it'd be cool because that's the one thing, the takeaway, I guess, how they dealt with Paul Walker as well.
Well, didn't they get his brother to stand in for him?
Yeah, that's what I've heard anyhow.
Anyway, so Fast and Furious 8 steals the record. And it just goes to show, right, in this day and age, these franchise tentpole movies, these records are going to fall quickly. Like The Last Jedi could take the record back again this year, or any of the other huge movies that are coming.
Yeah, there's a lot of good movies coming out this year.
Yeah, it's a big year for movies, and I'll probably see two of them in theater, if I'm lucky.
Oh, man.
All right, Corey, what about your Would You Rathers or your trivia, whatever you've got?
You guys want to hear some trivia?
Yes.
Alrighty then. Let's keep it on a theme. We're kind of running low on the trivia, but...
I got a Would You Rather to break it up if you want, Corey.
Well, whatever. We got a good one here. It's about the... We've talked about the sounds. We talked about the iconic sound of the... Was it the TIE Fighter? And what was the other one we had? I think it was... With TIE Fighter? Anyhow, it was something else. What do you guys think... make the sounds up of a lightsaber? We love the lightsaber. It's iconic. What two sounds in the real world make that beautiful sound?
It's two sounds?
Wasn't one like an old TV tube?
Correct. Yeah.
And the other was like a humming power line?
Or was it striking? It was striking a power line with a wrench, wasn't it? Or was it? No, that's a blaster sound, I think.
It's the hum of an old TV picture tube combined with the a film projector's motor, the buzz of a film projector's motor.
Huh.
Sound design is so cool.
Yeah, it really is.
It is. Like I played with it a bit in Sejep because the first year I took film, it was the film we produced was a silent, right? And then the second year, you had to incorporate sound, which is interesting because you record the sound separately. So that was kind of cool, just going out and taking samples of stuff. And
all right, James, how about your Would You Rather?
All right. It's outside the Star Wars universe, but into the sci-fi realm. Would you rather have a time machine that only goes forward or only goes backward?
But then can you go back to, like, are you stuck there wherever you go?
You can only go forwards or only go backwards.
But and you're stuck there forever.
Whichever way you go, yep. I mean, in theory, if you went back 5 minutes, you could get back to now in 5 minutes.
What a waste.
Well, you could relive the same moments over and get them right. There's the advantage there.
But wouldn't your old self be there?
There's a conundrum there for sure. You may have to kill yourself over and over again. I'm not sure how that would work.
Yeah, time paradox would dictate that one of you has to die.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man. That's tough, dude.
Well, I think the pessimistic view right off the bat is You know, I'd love to go to the future. Don't get me wrong. Like, send me, I don't know. Let's try. Let's start with, I want to see some big changes. Let's go 500 years into the future.
Whoa, that's a good big jump.
Yo, man. Yeah, but now I'm scared. Like, does the world even exist after the Trump era? Like,
now
I don't know.
Scared.
If I knew the, if I, okay, can we have the, do we know that society still exists?
All right,
or is
I'll,
it just like
just
I can jump
you
to the future?
Not, you're not jumping to like Earth's rubble floating around in space. Like the planet's still around.
There's no Planet of the Apes or anything like that.
Eh, I don't know. Okay.
Like you emerge from the past. You, like you burst into the future, and the world's on fire like T2. Like that's
like,
bad.
You're like forward more.
It's past that. Past this part.
I don't care who wins. I just don't want to be here for the fight.
That is a really tough question.
Can I do it more than once? Like you just said.
Yep.
Like, can I
you
keep
can do
fast
it over
forwarding?
And over again.
Ooh. Yeah, we're going forward.
Yeah, eh?
Back would be fun too. Don't get me wrong, because we know what we've dealt with. But let's journey to the unknown, motherfucker.
I like your attitude, Corey.
See, what's really dangerous, if you go into the future and they see you and they're like, hey, you with the hair, what kind of diseases are you bringing with you from the 21st century? Kill him. And they just incinerate you on the spot. You and you're full of your diseases that they've since eradicated. Then if you go back to the past, like say you want to go back, you know, 60 million years and just catch a few glimpses of dinosaurs, and then you sneeze while you're there and you infect the entire ecosystem. And you completely alter the course of evolutionary history. What have you done?
That's not your problem. You can't go back. You can't go back.
Yeah. That'd be,
and then that'd you spend the rest bad. Of your life defending yourself against dinosaurs?
Maybe you make shit better. Maybe like donuts get invented way earlier because of you.
Or how about this? Were you guys ever fans of Futurama?
Of course.
We didn't
like
Futurama.
You ever see the episode where Fry's his own grandfather?
I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
I've probably seen it.
He travels back to Roswell, I think it is, and he ends up meeting his grandmother, but he doesn't really know it's her. And
oh, gross.
Yep.
Now, you know what? Final answer. I think I would skip ahead to the future.
Oh, okay. So I'm the only one who's chicken. I would go backwards.
Like if I was going to go backwards, I'd go back to, like, the 50s.
That's what I was going to say. The golden age of Art Deco and...
I think I'd go back, like... Yeah. I'd go back to the... I'd go back, like, a bunch of times. I'd go back to, like, the 2000s and the 90s and the 80s.
It'd be fun, that's for sure. You know what you're going to get. You're not going to be disappointed, that's for sure. Like, you want to do some cocaine? Let's do the 80s! Like... You know, let's go back to the 70s, man, and do some funky stuff, and then the 60s, and yeah, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Wild West. To jump back like 10 years at a time, just spend a couple days, and then jump back again, and then work your way towards the 50s. Oh, you don't want to go back further than that, because then you have the war and the depression and another war, and then just tuberculosis, and you don't want that.
No, you don't want that. TB is no good.
You know, the 50s would have been my first choice too. It's kind of funny if I was traveling back, which is kind of sad too, because I'd like to see the Wild West, the frontier, but the fact that you're telling us we can't come back to anymore, we're so accustomed to such a comfortable lifestyle that it'd be hard to adjust to that much work and that much disease, like Kyle said.
But how much of it is... You want to go back to the 50s because of Back to the Future and how romanticized it was.
50%.
Well, there's so many things. There's a lot of yeah. There's a lot of factors there.
And
like, it just seemed like
Pleasantville too.
Yeah, it's all about Pleasantville, man. People had really green grass, which I'm a big. You know what? God,
I'm gonna make you hate lawns, Corey. Do you like grass lawns?
I used to be pretty big on it.
Okay, so grass lawns are the only green spaces in the world that are bad for the environment. They require more CO2, unless you cut it with scissors or like a push mower, they require more CO2 to maintain than they eliminate. So like green lawns, bad for the environment.
That's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah. It's science, man. It is absolutely true.
There you go. Little knowledge dropped on you for today.
See, I would want to go back to the 50s so I could watch the Canadians of the 50s dominate and win six Stanley Cups. Like, yeah, I want to be selfish fun. And know that.
1955 through 60.
Yeah, something like that.
And they did it again in the 70s. They did it twice, didn't they?
Yeah, so I would certainly jump back to the 77, right in the heart of that Habs dynasty. Stick around for the premiere of Star Wars. And then jump back to the 50s, to the next, like, Habs dominant era.
It took us a while to get there, but I thought this would steer itself towards premiere of Star Wars sooner than that. But yes, I thought someone would go there.
I'm looping on this shit, man. That's the way you do this. You travel. This is really nice. You travel back in time, okay? To, like Kyle said, the 50s or whatever it is, maybe a bit sooner. You don't want to take too many chances here when it comes to Star Wars. So you travel back in time and you play the stock market, whatever. You invest in McDonald's, whatever it is. You're going to be living a super comfortable life. You're going to pull a Biff Tannen. You got the almanac. You know, and then you get to see Star Wars premiere twice by having traveled back and then living it forward.
Or you just write Star Wars yourself. You just take all the good ideas.
Make a deal with George. Just be like, look, you know, I'll give you this kind of idea. Just, I want every toy forever.
No, you drive to Modesto, California in sometime in the early 60s and you off them in a weird accident. Then you write Star Wars and you make a bajillion dollars and then you write every great... James, you should go back, like whack Tolkien and write Lord of the Rings yourself.
Well, too much work.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was thinking too, because at that point, George Lucas already had street cred. If you're some dude coming out of the woodwork with some story about space dogs and golden rods, then you're probably going to get kicked to the curb.
Have you seen Star Wars?
You build your track record before that.
Space dogs and golden rods?
Like you go back and you write some of the early James Bond stuff. And you make you make that successful. And then you write something else which is successful.
And then you build your writer for that, you know what I mean? Like you have the idea, the concept, right? But do you think you'd really be able to put it down on paper and be like this is...
Okay, fine. You work with the writers. I have a great idea for this British MI6 spy. Check this out. I need you to ghostwrite this for me. Okay. I'll give you a cut. Don't worry about it. Then that's a success. And then you just repeat the process. And then from the mind of the man who brought you James Bond and this and that comes Star Wars. And it's guaranteed you'd be like the you would own everything, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be, I don't want to tempt fate, you know, like once you start playing in time like that, you kill off Lucas. Nothing's going to be the same, bro.
Drop me again.
Yeah, you're the one that just suggested Biff Tannen and everything.
Piece of work.
Well, I just said, you know, bring an almanac back with you. It's not that bad. I wouldn't, you know, start my own casino or anything.
Oh my God. I don't know.
Hey, guys. Hey, I enjoyed listening again, to all of your conversation there, and I definitely didn't get dropped.
Yeah, I mean, the past has its advantages, I suppose. Bad food, though. The food gets worse the further you go back.
I'll stop at cheeseburgers and french fries. I'm good.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess less pesticides, too.
True.
And I highly suggest investing in the first McDonald's.
Oh, and dude, IBM. McDonald's, Google, IBM. Buy Warren Buffett a cup of coffee when he's young.
Like, you'd be a trillion... If you went back in time knowing what you know, you could be the world's first, like, multi-trillionaire.
But all those decisions... Like, time travel's too funky like that. If you go back, it changes everything, no matter what. You know, like, you make one decision, it could change multiple other outcomes, so...
We don't know that. That's one...
That's when you gotta really stay in the dark.
Maybe everything's predestined, and, like, you can't affect shit.
That's true.
I want to see who would go far enough back that you emerge from your capsule and to an unbreathable atmosphere and die.
Just land next to a pile of amoebas.
They worship you kind of like minions. And then, yeah, of course, the future. Everybody's ultra aggressive. Or they don't even notice you because they're buried in their phones.
Well, if it's after 2018 in Canada, everybody will be super chill.
I'm still hoping that.
is that a legalization pun?
It was. I don't know if it was a pun, but it was something.
Well, reference to.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that Star Wars future. Need some dude by the name of Zephyrin Cochran to build us some light speed or whatever it is. Warp technology.
Yeah, I don't know how far in the future you'd have to go to get to that.
I got a question playing into the timeline. You might know this one, Kyle. It's a tidbit of trivia. I thought this was pretty interesting. I probably should have put this together a while ago, but I heard it a couple of months ago, and I said, "Well, whatever, I'll put it on the shelf, like George." And I was thinking about it the other day, looking for some trivia for these show notes, and how many years do you guys think there are between The Phantom Menace and The Force Awakens?
Kyle, didn't we talk about this once? Isn't there like 60 years?
Yeah, it's a 60-ish, isn't
it? It's interesting. I'm glad you don't know this because, interestingly enough, and coincidentally enough, correct.
Yeah, I did know that. I knew it.
So I thought that was kind of a nice little, reference, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. That is kind of cool. It means nothing, I don't think, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just, kind of relates back to Order 66. Yeah, that way.
It like a nice little string? Like that whole, like, Kennedy's secretary was named Lincoln and Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy. And
I just thought cool, Dave Filoni got them to put in a little Mario Lemieux reference. That's what I thought that was. I've got a Would You Rather.
Let's do it.
So it's based upon the Force for Change charity thing. And so you guys know the grand prizes, right? So one of them is a visit to Skywalker Ranch. The other is going to the Last Jedi premiere with the cast and crew, like the red carpet thing, the big deal. And third is a part in the Han Solo flick. So let's start there and then I'll expand it out and see if I can change your minds. Is it an easy answer? Corey, I think I pretty much know what you're going to say.
It'd be a really big toss-up between, obviously you want the role in the movie.
And there's no, as far as I know, there's no guarantee that whatever you're cast in, and you're not getting a line, let's be clear, and you're probably going to get an alien mask shoved on your head, and you sit in the corner of the room, and that's your role. And there's no guarantee that you're actually going to be in the final cut.
See, there's no guarantee there. I don't know. I'm really on the fence. Like, I want to take that chance, but I know guaranteed that if I go out with these guys for the red carpet thing, like, it'll be a memory I'll never forget.
Well, and that's it, right? Like, you granted, will get to hang out with the cast and crew.
You're guaranteed that. But the filming would be an amazing experience as well. But, yeah, like, being with the hype of opening night must be really, really something special. But if you're like Simon Pegg, like in that suit, saying I burn for Star Wars, then on a desert planet and you're just sweating, and then you don't even make it into the film, then
yeah.
So what's it gonna be?
This choice isn't that hard for me, and I'll take the date to Skywalker Ranch with Daisy Ridley. She said she wanted me to ask her if I won. You heard it.
I did hear it.
So that's my choice.
A day with Daisy Ridley?
At Skywalker Ranch? Sounds like a pretty good way to spend some time.
I can't argue with that.
No. You know what? I'm going to go with the movie. I'm going to take my chances. I would just... Can't pass that up, man.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, we're each going to have... I'm going with the Last Jedi premiere with the cast.
Yeah, that's hard to pass up.
I wouldn't want to pass up the guaranteed opportunity to meet all the people involved. Imagine what happens to my Trivial Pursuit board. It's full.
That's if you get to meet them. You just get to go.
Nah, you get to meet them, for sure.
Corey's going to loophole you, and he's going to take away your Trivial Pursuit board at security.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a weapon.
It is. Don't take that near Daisy.
Daisy's busy with me at Skywalker Ranch. She's not at the premiere. We're busy touring the grounds.
So now we definitely know that James's wife doesn't listen to this show.
No, we got the list, though. We each have our list. That's fine.
There's a list? It's like a multiple-person list?
You have your three or five, whatever. Each couple has their own number and things that they're comfortable with. You don't have your three or five? Like, you run into Elle McPherson, and like it's okay because it's Elle McPherson. You don't have that list?
No.
Well, you got
to talk. You should get to work.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you'll be face-to-face with Jennifer Aniston, and you didn't talk to Candace yet. Too bad for you.
Ah.
Because that would be obviously the only thing preventing it from happening.
That's the only thing. Jennifer, I'm sorry I didn't agree upon this at first. You're not on the list.
That's actually in an episode of Friends. Ross has a list. Yeah. And he takes who is it? It's a French actress. It's
Isabella Rossellini?
It is. It's not a French actress, but it's Isabella Rossellini. And he takes her off the list and then runs into her.
Hey, that's one of the episodes of Friends I could probably still watch.
Yeah. That's an older one.
I got the list. I just made sure very clearly that I told her the list was very fluid.
That's not how that list is supposed to work.
I ran into Monica Bellucci, and she wasn't on the list before, but like I put her on it like just 2 minutes before I met her.
And she's not a celebrity yet, but she's reading a script.
Monica Bellucci, though, she's on the list. That's a woman, man.
That's a woman, man? What are you, Austin Powers?
Yeah, Corey would definitely take the time machine to the past.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I'm expanding out my options here. I got a couple others. So, to add to the visit to Skywalker Ranch or the premiere of The Last Jedi with the cast or the part in the Han Solo flick, option four is to sit in on a John Williams scoring session for a whole day as he scores the next Star Wars soundtrack.
No.
Yeah, I probably would. That's not that high up on my list. I mean, it'd be cool, and I wouldn't say no if it was like my prize, but I wouldn't choose it over the other prizes.
Yeah.
Okay. Or just to hang around on the set of Han Solo for a day.
Access, like open access, can walk around, like obviously can't interrupt stuff, but like...
Don't interrupt, don't bother the stars. You can ask the crew questions like during breaks and whatnot. Just don't be a nuisance, you know?
That'd be pretty cool. I don't know, that's tough. No, I'd still stick with, I think, exploring the ranch.
Exploring Sky. Yeah, okay.
I said the ranch.
Yes, you did. That's where the exploring stops. Does it change your answer, Corey?
No, I'm good.
What about... This is a reach because it would mean that you'd have to have some skill in this department, but you get to help build, say, like the Millennium Falcon set and say, that's the Falcon I worked on in the movie.
No. You're putting me to work here, bro. Like, I want to have fun with that, you know? Like, it'd be fun, don't get me wrong. It'd be a great experience. I wouldn't turn it down if it was my only option, but the other options on the table are just awesome. So, no.
I think the one thing you could sell Corey off and you could get us both to bite at would be the cast party after the premiere. I think I would give, you know, that would be the one thing that I would probably, you know, that's top prize. I think the cast party would be, you get to see everybody like loose and happy and, you know, in that frame of mind, party mood. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would definitely be fun.
Yeah.
Okay. One more. You get to make the casting call on, say that like the lead in the next Star Wars saga, like they'll narrow it down to the final three and you get to pick who's going to be the lead protagonist, the Luke or the Rey in the next saga.
Does everyone else in the world know that I picked or no. is it anonymous?
Maybe one day that story comes out. Because you know you wouldn't keep your mouth shut. If everybody turns out to like the person, you go, yeah, I did it. It's me.
That's it. That's exactly, you said it right there. If they turn out to like the person. So I don't want that responsibility. And again, I just want to have fun. So
Corey, no. Who picked Hayden Christensen? Not that we're going to hate on him because we all agree that we like him. But he was hated on for a while. But who picked him?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's it. Exactly. Lucas. Who cares? Like, that person's not held responsible.
Yeah, but still, I mean, again, it seems like work. Like, why would I sacrifice having, a party with these guys or, like, dinner or red carpet premiere or having a chance to be in the movie to choose a character that, you know, these guys are trained to choose these people. Like, let them sweat over it. Like it depends, I guess, who's up there on the option block, but in the long run, no.
No, I disagree with Corey on that one, just in the sense, like, I would be into that. I think that would be cool to like have that kind of impact on the franchise forever.
Don't get me wrong, it'd be super cool, but in comparison to the other things, like I would much rather do like again, like the dinner with Daisy or whatever, man, being in the movie, going to the premiere, like
I like that it's dinner at the Skywalker Ranch now. That's cool.
it's not like a sandwich, cold sandwich lunch. It's now dinner.
Nice.
And by the way, Robin Gerland was the casting director for the prequels.
Yeah,
but I don't know if she makes the final call. Obviously, I think George makes that final call. She just brings in the qualified people. But anyway, they would give you three options and say, as Lucasfilm, we think these are three good options, and we're going to give you the opportunity to make the final call.
Like, we knew the finalists sort of for the Han Solo role. Like, you would have got to pick. I like that. I like that idea. That's a fun option.
I like it. It's a fun option, but it's just out of all of them, yeah, I'm sticking with my answer of being in the movie.
Fair enough.
The chance of being in the movie.
I knew you'd take it away from me. I'm on set. I'm filming. I'm filmed on Star Wars footage, Star Wars reel, and trust me, the performance I'd put out there. It's going on film, man. No matter what I do, it's canon. Now hear this.
All right, I'm done. I got nothing left.
Yeah, I'm good. Let's save a few for next week.
Yep. I think that was, we must have done an hour.
Sure. Sure, we went way over that. Although, you know what? Based on the feedback we got this week, 3 hours isn't quite long enough.
I know, that's crazy to me.
Isn't it?
Like, yeah, I can barely stand talking to you guys for that long.
I think people are just being nice.
Yeah.
Lies. Deception.
Thanks for being nice, though. You can keep it up. Anybody who said that was not good to listen to. Yeah. We're encouraged by that news.
I listened to the show this week and I was actually pretty impressed again, like with ourselves in the sense that I really found there was a good energy. I think we're just riding the wave of celebration in a sense that we're all so passionate about getting this stuff off our chests. And even tonight's episode, it was like ripples of celebration, kind of, you know.
See, I tried to listen to 71, but it was just too long.
I'm like halfway through. Like,
I'm just kidding. I did listen to it.
Wow, you got through it all?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a long car ride, eh?
That's true. That helps, man. I'm glad that that I'm finally doing. Like, I like the bit of a longer commute that I'm doing recently, just for that fact that I get to listen to almost in a weekly roundup now. I can almost get through every Commonwealth podcast. But this week's been a bit different because of the holiday and whatnot. But hopefully, I'm able to catch up and get back on track.
I'm pretty much up to date. This week I've been pretty good. A lot of people have put out shorter episodes, which has helped, except for us. We're holding up the other end.
Yeah, fuck you, everybody.
Oh, that's amazing. But obviously, Jesus Christ, we can't do... Now I feel almost like a pressure to do, like flirt with longer running times every week. But we can't. We start late. Sleep. Yeah,
keep it quality too, you know. Like, I think that's the thing with, like, the
yeah, like, unlike this.
After
this
celebration,
is quality.
After celebration, though, like, we all had quite a bit to say, and I think having listened so far, I think I'm like halfway through, and nothing I've listened to so far is like drivel. So, like, I think we all had great things to say, and that's that, man.
I feel like that's a backhanded insult at all of our other episodes, Corey.
No, it's about this kind
of
sounds.
No, I'm just kidding. I agree. The energy poured out of Orlando. I mean, Twitter was a buzz, even on my phone. And I'm not even that active.
Yeah, I mean, you can only do 3 hours so often, right? I mean, realistically, there's only so many Star Wars celebrations to feed off of. I mean, the show notes for episode 72 are pretty full. I'm not saying we're going to get to 3 hours. But we're going to have a packed show again. Anyway, that's what we save all the drivel for Sith Disturbers when we just don't know what else to say. We just prattle on for X amount of time.
Yeah, it's true. Like, just closing out the show quickly, I totally forgot to tell you guys this at the beginning of the night. Go fuck.
I knew you were going to say that.
You knew, eh?
I did. I sort of missed it. The show didn't feel complete.
All right, good.
Jesus.
Yeah.
If I have time, I'm going to bring back the lightsaber this week. I might not take out all of them, but I do enjoy taking out some of them. I think they sound better with zapped.
Yeah,
it's
good, man. You got to pick and choose.
Yeah.
All right, well, are we done?
We're done. We should mention that we're part of a team, though.
Yes. The team is the Star Wars Commonwealth. That's the team we're talking about.
That's the one.
That's the one. All right. Well, go visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com. see, my voice is going now. That's the sign. It's over. Check out our friends over at Talk Star Wars, Generation X-Wing, Skyhoppers, Nerd Room, and the Rogue Squadron podcasts. Great shows, one and all. And don't forget to head to iTunes. Leave us some kind of review, please. Help get this show in front of new eyeballs and get us some exposure. And again, thanks to everybody for all the great feedback for episode 71. Really, really appreciated. And glad to know. I was a bit nervous. God, who's going to like a 3-hour show? But I've got my answer.
Mom and Dad.
Are you kidding me? They wouldn't make it through 5 minutes. You sound like idiots.
What's this thing that you're doing with your pop smash?
We'll save it for next week. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back in a couple days with episode 72. So don't worry, three of us will be back with more Star Wars fallout from Celebration Orlando. And until then, have yourselves a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast. Brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber. Proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.